So we are still in our series we're still in our series. What series are we in? Dimensions of the Kingdom. Dimensions of the Kingdom. We're still in our series, Dimensions of the Kingdom. Now, when we get to the last one, because this is a five-part series, I'm gonna start to ask y'all questions. Okay. Now, what is the kingdom, or what is a kingdom? A kingdom in definition is a territory ruled by a king. It is a realm belonging to a ruler. So when the Father gave us dominion, he gave us kingdom. When he put us in earth, the territory, and said, you dominate this, he made us rulers. When he did that, he gave us kingdom. Now, in agenda, the kingdom is us as the church ruling earth through heaven. Y'all hear what I said? It is us. Say us. Say it again. It is us. Us. It ain't you. It ain't me. It's us. This earth can only be taken by the church. We are the body of Christ. So no one man will rule it. No one man. It takes us. We are the body. Now, in reality, the kingdom is the realm of the spirit that we are born into to live and to operate from, or to function from. The Bible says that our citizenship is in heaven. The Bible says that we are seated in heavenly places. The Bible says when we are born again, you can now see the kingdom. The scripture says if you are born of the water and the spirit, you are able to enter into it. So we were born for the kingdom. We were born to rule. Now, what are dimensions? Dimensions are the measurables of spiritual life in the spirit realm. Okay, it's the measurable of spiritual life in the spirit realm where we live. So every conversation from our Father has depth to it. It has a height to it. It has a length to it. It has a width to it. The depth is that deep calls to deep. So when a Father speaks to you, when he gives you a commandment, it's not like I gave it to you. It's not like you having a conversation with a human being. When he speaks, it's an eternal conversation. It's never ending. So even when he tell you, I love you, okay, it ain't fickle. Like, it ain't I love you till you do something. It ain't I love you until you upset me. It's depth to it. I so love you that I gave. Now, that giving is him loving you so much that he submitted a possession, his only possession, so you would get it. So you would never fall away from that conversation. There's a love that is so deep that it removes fear. He said, because fear involves torment. So when he tell you, I love you, it's a whole conversation. He says, I love you with an eternal love. He says, I drew you with loving kindness, which means I brought you into my household to love you, and I promise you I'm going to be faithful to that. So his word has depth to it. It's not shallow. It has height to it. He said, my thoughts and my ways are far from yours. So what that says is you need to think in submission. Did I say that right? You need to think in submission, which means you need to submit your thoughts to my thoughts. Don't try to measure. You could never, ever think on my level. That's good. That's good. Amen? To have somebody, because in the natural, we get intimidated by people knowing more than us. That's a good thing. Because if someone knows more than you, then they can teach you. If they don't know more than you, then they can't teach you. So it's a blessing to have a father in which his thoughts and his ways are far from ours. As high as the heaven, as far as the earth is from heaven, which means you can't see it. And if we're talking about where he lives, we're talking about eternity. He says, I think on an eternal level, you think on time and space. Then there's the length of it, which means, just like I just said, that his conversation and his relationship towards us is eternal. I gave my son so you would not perish but have eternal life. I want a never-ending relationship with you. When I start the relationship, I don't want it to ever end. I've already put the parameters and the things set them in order so nothing can separate us. I gave you grace so that in you making mistakes, it's as if I didn't even see it. The Bible says where sin abounds, grace abounds even the more. So with your little bad baby self, okay, he said to the degree that you acting up is to the degree I need to spend time with you. In a world where we point out everything that's wrong with you and then we shun you. And the church has taught us that the more we're wrong, the more God separates himself from us. Well, then that makes his sacrifice invalid. That makes me a better father than him. Come on, who separates themselves from their kids when they make a mistake? That's illegal in the natural. We were talking about how when kids turn 18, we kick them out. That's child abuse. No child can leave the house at 18 years old and fend for themselves. But we want to get them out of our pocket. I'm sorry. But his love is forever enduring. He said, he who endures to the end. I never stop. You have to stop. He who endures to the end shall be saved. I'm not stopping. You stop. I know the end of a thing. Come on. Before the beginning. I did not put you on a journey that you couldn't do. If he says, I will not put more on you than you can bear, then he's letting you know the path that I put you on, even though there's resistance, even though it may feel weighty, you can do it. You can do it, but you have to hear me tell you that. And it requires you to be connected to my voice at all times. Can you imagine Moses trying to bring the children of Israel? That is a battle between hearing him for direction and hearing them complaining. We all going through this, right? Long as they stuck with him, long as they listened to him, the miracles happen. Doors open. To the degree that they listen. Then there's a width to it, which is his covenant. He has boundaries. It's his covenant. He said it's a narrow path. There's a righteous path. There's a highway of holiness. Don't get off at the wrong exit. Now, how do we travel into these dimensions? Through consecration. I'm going to give you 7 ways. Prayer. Fasting. Studying. Meditation. Humility. Purity. And giving. I'll read them again. So the way that we travel into these dimensions is through consecration. Now, consecration is me separating myself from the world to spend time with my Father. There's not a relationship in the world. Ask wives. A wife loves when you throw everything else to the side to spend time with her. Come on, high five me, sisters. Boom. Okay. Children love that. Children don't care about you making money. They care about you spending time with them. They don't care about your bank account. They don't care nothing about that. When they grow up, they will remember the time you spent with them, not what you purchased them. So that's why I tell you, stop blowing your bank account up for Christmas. Stop, because they're going to forget about it. The next Christmas, they forgot about everything you bought them. By February, it's in the trash. So prayer, fasting, studying, meditation, humility, purity, and giving. Now, in order for you to travel into these dimensions, you have to hunger and thirst for them. If you don't have an appetite for it, you will not do it. Hunger and thirst is the only way to be filled. Now, to hunger and thirst is to lose your appetite for the natural and develop an appetite for the spiritual. It is to lose an appetite for the world and to develop an appetite for your Father and His will for you. That's why the purest prayer that you can pray is, not my will, but your will. Not my will, but your will. 100% of the time, you're going to be wrong wanting your will. So, thus far in this series, we've talked from the title or the topic of Dimensions of Redemption, letting you understand that He did redeem us. He brought us back. He brought us back into His household, into His family. But that's a deeper conversation than just He redeemed us. And when you look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, when you look at the epistles, okay, when you look at Paul's conversation, you should be able to look at those conversations and trace them all the way back to Genesis. Chapter 1. We have to be born again because He created us in His image according to His likeness. So now, because of the fall, we have to be born again. He tells us to seek first the kingdom of God because we were born again to dominate. So He didn't just say seek first the kingdom of God. This ain't something new. Remember, everything that He's doing with your mind, your heart, and your soul is the process of renewal. He's not giving you anything new. He's bringing you back to the original plan. Everything that He's doing in your life right now and everything He's trying to get you to, understand you were created before the foundation of the world. You are already on His mind. Every gift, every talent, every ability, He gave it to you because He knew what He would call you to do. So it's a deeper conversation than I've been redeemed. It's dimensions to that. There's a depth to that. Then we talked about last week that we are born for dimensions. We are born again to see the kingdom. So we are born again. He intentionally said, I'm going to. Now, born again also means born from above. So He said, you're intentionally, you are born again so you can see into my realm. So you can see into my world. So you can now live from my household. You are not born again to live in earth. You are born again to live from heaven. So the Bible says, as Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, He says, so I seated y'all with Him. He said, I made you alive, which means you are dead. You were dead to what? His realm, His world. You were dead to His household. You could not hear Him. You could not see Him. When the Holy Spirit was poured out, He said, now your sons and daughters can prophesy. Now you can dream. Because I poured the Spirit out, you are now in that realm, and now you can have a vision and see the very things I called you to do. Do you know that to have a vision is to be in time and space and have an encounter with eternity? This is what a vision is. You are in time and space, but you're having an encounter with eternity. He's showing you chapters of the book that He already wrote. In time and space. Revelation is a conversation from eternity in time and space. So we were born for dimensions. We were not born to build in earth. We were born to dominate earth from heaven, from His household. So now we have to tune our ears from the world and tune it to His household. Stop worrying about what the news say and worry about what the good news says. Stop worrying about what the world's saying and tune into heaven. Tune into the conversation of your father. We're so indoctrinated with what's going on around us that we can't hear. And what's happening, y'all need you to hear me, is you're choking your soul out. You're choking your soul out. So you can't believe. It's hard to believe because you know too much about earth. We got to get rid of that. So we were born for dimensions. We were not born to get educated in earth. Okay. We were not born to stack degrees. Nothing wrong with that. Go as high as you can. But realize that after you have acquired the highest level of education, that don't mean you can hear in the spirit. After you've graduated, you have your cap and gown on, that don't mean you graduated in the spirit. You graduated in the natural. And you hear everything that university has. But that don't mean you hear everything heaven has. That's why you associate the baptism of the spirit with school. To the degree you stay in school, you graduate. To the degree you stay in the spirit. Am I talking? To the degree you stay in the spirit, you graduate. You only got a half hour. It's going to take a long time to get a doctorate degree like that. You only got an hour every week to pray. Well, imagine if you were trying to get a master's degree and you only had an hour to do school. It's going to take you a long time. A degree that is supposed to take 3 to 4 years is going to take 10. We have to look at what we're doing with our time. Because we are born again and we're in time and space, but we got to function as if we're in eternity. So it becomes difficult. And if you do the math, Jesus' disciples, should I say this? Jesus' disciples, let's just go by what happened in the Bible. How about that? Jesus' disciples followed him every day for 3 years. Every day. Say 365 days for 3 years. That's over 1,200 days. We come to church. Come on, we do too much church. Sunday is only 50. It's only 50, 52 Sundays. So if you came on every Sunday and you came on every Thursday, that's 100. That ain't even days. Come on. That's not even days. That's hours. Now, there's 168 hours in a week. We asking you for 5. They were in the school of Tyrannus for 2 years. When he went to train a disciple, they didn't get a day off. You might get hours off. See how we backwards? You see how backwards we are? We spend hours in the church and days in the world. And if we spend too much time in the church, we get upset. Y'all being there too long. What I mean? I'm about to go home. Come on. I'm about to go home. I'm about to watch at least 2-3 football games. Come on. I'm about to watch a series. Y'all see the new series? It's All Her Fault. Y'all, come on, you like it? We gonna binge on it. Come on, 45 minutes per episode. We gonna watch 4 or 5 in a day. I just want you to know you feeding your soul. You better counter that. You better learn how to counter that with the word. You feeding your soul. You give 30 minutes. I tell my kids, you get in the word, yeah, how long? 30, that ain't going to get it. So you did 30 minutes in the word, and then you did a whole series. What are you trying to develop? It better be an actor. It better be a screenwriter. Come on. You better be working on your director skills. You watching that much TV, there got to be something you getting education there. If not, you're choking your soul out. That's why consecration is important. It's me shutting down everything. Jesus said, look, the secret place is the place where you leave the world and you just tune into eternity. And all you got is time to measure it. That's all you have is time to measure how long you stayed in that place. And he said, whatever you do in that place, I reward you. You stay in there 30 minutes, that's all I can do. I can't put my glory on you. This ain't where I'm supposed to go. I can't put my anointing on you. The thing I called you to do, the mountain I called you to invade, it's going to be impossible for me to rest my hand on you with an hour worth of prayer. That's the minimum. That is the minimum for a child of God, is an hour worth of prayer. That's the minimum. Anything less is unsatisfactory. Or there's a commercial would say uncivilized. Y'all remember that. I got my people in here. So we are born again for dimensions. We are born again to live this life. We are born again to function in this planet as Jesus. As he is, so are you. If that's the case, then that means I have to take his protocols. All right. So we're born again, meaning we have been renewed into the spirit realm and the spiritual life. We are adopted because he has rescued us from the domain of darkness and he has brought us into the kingdom of his son whom he loves. So in him adopting us, if you can see it in the natural, it's as if he came to the orphanage because Jesus said, I will not leave you orphans. He said, I'm not going to leave you orphans, which means I'm going to pull you out the orphanage, but then I'm going to deal with that mind. Okay, I'm going to deal with that mind. Because I need you to think like a king. I need you to think like royalty. So born again aligns my nature. Born again aligns my nature, my spirit man. But then the adoption process aligns my soul. Because I am born again, I am a new man at the spirit level. You got the same old soul. You got that same soul that you had in high school. Come on. You got the same soul. So now the soul, it is you have to give your will to him in order for that to change. This is why he said, love the Lord with all your mind, your heart, and your soul. I'm adopting you. I'm bringing you. I need you to now think like me. And so after we have been born again, now it's about the spiritual life because the Bible says that we are a new creation. So now we have to intentionally prosper our soul. Because the scripture lets us know that you will only prosper. Come on. Come on. Go ahead. Go ahead. Come on. I need some word readers. You can only prosper and be in good health as your soul prospers. So as I deal with your mind, as I deal with your heart, and as I deal with your soul, that's the only way you can prosper. Money is not prosperity to me. Money is not prosperity to me. Money's not prosperity. In earth it is. So the more you got, people look to you. But you don't want people looking to you, you want heaven looking at you. When heaven look at you, they're not looking at your bank account. He's looking at your dedication. He says, when I come, will I find faithful people in the world, in the earth? And sometimes stuff is what keeps me away. Me and Pastor Kirby was talking last night. I said, it is better to have less. It's better to have less. One pair of shoes. It's better to have less. I got 50. So I'm not telling you, okay, don't get me wrong. Okay, but I'll give them away. I pay $200 and give them away. It means nothing to me. It's nothing wrong with having stuff. But it can't have you. It shouldn't have you. It shouldn't have you to the point where we like, okay, we got to pray for 10 hours, but what about all this other stuff I got to do? But I got to do this other stuff. And none of that stuff is going to get you to where you need to go in life. I was telling my children, I said, no less than a master's degree. They said, how long is that? It don't matter. The time going to pass anyway. It's going to pass anyway. 6 years from now, you're going to either have a degree because you've been participating with education, or you're not going to have one. What did you do with that time? So now we are a new creation. We are a new creation. Now we have to prosper our souls. So we have no choice but to sit in front of preaching. Why do I say that? Somebody yell it. I'm a boy, yeah. Okay, I'll give you that one. I'll give you that. That's what I was looking for, but you're right. Faith comes by hearing. That same scripture. It's same scripture. Feed your soul. The Bible says he gave preaching to save your soul. Preaching saves your soul. So without preaching, it's impossible for your soul to be saved. He chose that technology, the proclamation of the word. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach. He has anointed me to proclaim. Somebody got to speak from heaven. So we have to preach, we have to teach, and we have to study. So now I must give my attention to the realities of the spirit realm, which means there's a natural realm and there's a spiritual realm. The natural realm is the realm that you're supposed to live from. I mean, the natural realm is the realm that you live from because you have a body. But the spirit realm is the realm you live from by faith. Because you are a spirit being. Jesus said in Hebrews, I think it's chapter 5. He said, you didn't want the blood of bulls and goats. He said, so watch this. You prepared a body for me. You hear that? He's speaking as a spirit. He said, you don't want the blood of bulls and goats. He said, so you prepared a body for me. This is what you did for me. You prepared a body for me. You prepared a body for my spirit. Paul said, I beat my body into subjection. He said, I abuse my, the spirit man abuses the body to make sure the spirit man comes into alignment with heaven. Okay, y'all ready for some scriptures? Let's go. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. I got 30 minutes. It says, now, we have received not the spirit of the world. So he letting us know that it is a spirit of the world. That's important. He said, but the spirit who is from God. He said that we might know the things that have been freely given to us. So he gave the spirit so that when we tap into the spirit is going to tell us the things that he freely gave us. So the Spirit informs us of his world and what we are to receive first. Y'all got that? Okay, verse 13 said, these things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches. This ain't no university. He said, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. We're not comparing natural things with spiritual. We're not comparing spiritual things with natural. The conversation is we're talking about spiritual things are being compared to spiritual things. Here we go. Verse 14 says, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. So we saw this in the last week's teaching in which Jesus is having a conversation with Nicodemus. And it's obvious that Nicodemus cannot hear in the realm that he hear from. Okay? He has to keep shifting his conversation. Nicodemus said, I know you're a rabbi that come from God. How else can you do these miracles? You need to be born again. That's not what I asked you. That ain't even a statement. So what that means that in the natural, when a question is asked from the natural to the spirit, you might not get the answer you're looking for. You're going to get the answer that heaven needs you to have. What did you create me to do? You may get a whole nother, my will. You wanted him to give you specifics. But if he gave you specifics, the first thing you're going to do is go try to find it. I called you to work at a car dealership, and everybody who come through there, you heal them. First thing you're going to do is try to go find a car dealership. He didn't tell you which one. You're going to go look for it. So that's why he gives it to you in increments. That's why you have to understand that it's that he speaks to in dimensions to you. So the title of the teaching, let me let it out, on today is Learning Dimensions. Okay, it's Learning Dimensions. We have to learn dimensions. Thank you. Because the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. The man who is not born again does not receive the things from the Spirit of God. They cannot hear it. So stop frustrating yourself. Trying to talk to people, come on, who are natural. They only tune into the natural things. They never tune into spiritual things. You will frustrate yourself trying to explain things of the Spirit. The scripture says, for they are foolishness, which means they don't see the wisdom in it. Then it says, they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit. They are foolish. It don't make sense. Give and it shall be given. It don't make sense to want something and desire something and spend time in prayer to get it. That don't make sense. It's easy to go to seminary than to wait on the ministry. Come on. Verse 15. It's one of my favorite verses. It says, but he who is spiritual judges all things. Y'all got to use this. Use it on your cousin. You got to use this. He says, but he who is spiritual judges all things. Yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. There's levels and dimensions that you get to that everybody can't. This is why we do the stages of sonship. The Bible says if somebody in the church comes with a word about an elder, it says it had to be at least two or three of them. The Bible says don't put a novice in charge. The Bible says that Israel is in trouble when their princes are infants. The Bible says as long as the heir is a child or an infant, he differs nothing from a slave, although he owns everything. You are a child of God. But in the kingdom of God, it's only given to sons. Responsibility is not, you don't give children responsibility. You ever saw a child with a driver's license? You ever seen a child apply for a mortgage? So he can't give the territory to children. He has to give it to sons, as many as who are led by the Spirit. These are sons. So because you are led by the Spirit, you judge all things. Paul said, I don't even judge my own. Come on, the person that wrote 3/4 of the New Testament says, I don't even judge my own thoughts. Jesus said, I wait till I hear my Father, then I judge. Come on, we got to grow up. This is how we grow up, because we make our judgment on our experience. You have no idea. Had you met Joseph, you'd have thought, this is the devil. God ain't with you. Come on. Had you met him, you in jail for doing what? You touched that woman. All you know is he in jail. What happened to your dream? I thought we was going to bow before you. And sometimes part of the strengthening of the Father is to put you in that situation so you can be ridiculed. This is how he works humility in you. By emptying you out so you won't have to worry about by first allowing people to speak. You heard what he said. This is why the Bible said that Jesus, although he was a son, he learned obedience by the things he suffered. So he didn't suffer disobedience. He learned obedience by the things he suffered. I gave you a plan. I called you to do something. Yeah, you hear the Pharisees. You hear the Sadducees. You hear the scribes. Your whole family not supporting you. But the call is there. You know you hear him. You hear him loud and clear. But nobody is supporting you. Herod tried to kill you when you was 2. Surely God ain't with him. But this is how you learn. This is how you learn obedience, by suffering. He tells you to do a thing and everybody opposes it. And in the opposition, he want to see, can you, because I can't give you the assignment until you lose people's opinions. I can't give it to you. And we don't use this for rebellion. It's not a tool for rebellion. I know what he told me. I'm just saying, come on. Am I helping you? We'll talk about it in a second. So now that we are born again, we have to learn. We have to learn. Say learn. Come on, we have to learn. You know that's the one thing that we hate in America? We act like we do. We don't like to learn. We like information. We don't like to learn. We like information. Just give me some more information. And the more information I regurgitate, it says I'm smart. No, you are not smart because you have information. You're smart because you're married to the information. Because the information has your will. Okay? That's what intelligence is. Intelligence is information that I obey. It's not information in my mind that I can regurgitate. So, Matthew chapter 11, verse 25, because we have to learn from him, because the assignment of Scripture says to conform to the image of his son. He says everybody he foreknew. That's all of our assignments. All of our assignments is to conform to the image of his son. He says, so he will be the firstborn of many of us. So we now have to learn. He says, be holy, because the one that called you is holy. He says, you are the body of Christ. You know this takes learning? He says, you are a holy nation. We need to study this. He says, you are a priesthood. Not a priest from the hood. Okay? You are a priesthood. That means all of us together should be praying. You don't have an individual prayer life by yourself that does not also lead to us coming together. My intercessors love that. I see the intercessors. You do not have a life of prayer where you just pray for your stuff. Newsflash, he does not answer your prayers about your life. Can I say it again? He does not answer your personal prayers about your life. Jesus said the Father knows what you need before you ask him. Okay? He said he know. He said, I know what you, he knows what you need. He said, but first just seek the kingdom. He said, seek the kingdom, because everything that he has for you is encapsulated in you seeking the kingdom. Your destiny is not in earth. It is in the kingdom. It's in that realm. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He said, everything that you want going to be added. But that's a process. Because I have to seek him and go through months, come on, days, sometimes even years where I don't get the thing. Well, you don't get the thing. That's why the best thing for you to do is just want his will to be done. Because the longer you are hungry for your appetite for what you want, he's going to make you wait. Because if he give it to you without you giving attention to his kingdom, then that means that he's going to... So he's going to make you seek him. Seek his will. You're going to have some days where you're in prayer, and for a whole hour, all you're going to say is, not my will, but your will. Not my will, but your will. Father, not my will, but your will. An hour passed, Father, not my will, but your will. Father, let your will be done, Father, in my family, Father, in my mind, in my heart, Father, let your will be done in my soul. And there's a fight. There's a fight going on in my mind because I got some stuff I want. Not my will, Father, but your will. But this is what I want. Your mind is not my will, but your will. Jesus did it for 3 hours. He did it for 3 hours to die. He did this for 3 hours to die. Is there another way? Nope. Okay. There ain't no other way? Nope. You can't prick my finger. You just need blood. Is there another way? If there's not, nevertheless, let your will be done. And in his will being done, he got slapped. I know. He gonna get them people for messing with you. He got slapped. He got spit on. He got the crown of thorns pressed into his head. He got his back beat to look like ground beef. This is the Father's will. Uh-oh. Y'all ain't screaming. Ain't nobody shouting now. Then the cross. A death that he didn't deserve. And he died in front of everybody, a thief's death. At that point, you got to have lost the opinions of people. Because he didn't deserve to die like that, but he did it anyway because it was his Father's will. And while he's dying, he said, forgive them. So you mean to tell me he prayed for that? He prayed 3 hours to go through that. To settle his soul to the realization that you're about to be crucified for something you did not do. You better be careful what you ask. No, ask for it. No, don't be careful. Don't be careful. Just understand that even if you were, Daniel prayed three times a day to end up in the lion's den. No angel came and got him. No door opened. The king, Daniel, you still there? You would think 3 days, praying three times a day, will keep you out of that situation. No. He wants you to know you are a God. He's not interested in your human life. He's not interested in making you comfortable in this space. He wants you to be uncomfortable because you are a child of God. So I have to raise you to be a God. I cannot raise you to be a human. When you took on a spiritual life, the scripture says you died to that life. And now you are alive with Christ. So what he went through, you get to go through. He said, if they persecuted me, then they're going to persecute you. So this is the conformity to his image. You get the whole package. You get to get lied on, and he get to see where you at. You get to get talked about, he get to see where you at. Come on. He just get to see where you at. Okay, I'm just seeing where you at. I know you think I'm looking at the people who are doing it. No, I'm not. Have you tried my servant Job? Come on. Have you tried my servant Janasia? David said, move that hedge. Move it. Move that hedge so I can show you. It can't be with you or not. I'm going to show you. I'm going to move the hedge, and I'm going to let you inflict. He took more than a job. Took his family. Naked I came, come on, and naked I leave. Although you slay me, I trust you. That's what he was looking for. He got everything back. So this is what conformity looks like. But it comes from a place that we have to learn. You have to learn. You don't arrive there. You don't get born again and then you arrive at this place. Y'all with me? So Matthew 11, 25 says, at this time, Jesus said, say Jesus said. He said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed them to infants. So it's some things that when you're born again, you can see better than someone with a doctorate degree. So he hides things from you when you are intelligent in the world, and he gives it to you according to where you are positioned in the kingdom. He said, John is the greatest man to ever be born of a woman, but he the least in the kingdom. Verse 26, Jesus said, yes, Father. Now he's showing you how to pray. Okay. We'll talk about that another day. Yes, Father. For this way was well-pleasing in your sight. Verse 27, he said, all things have been handed over to me by my Father. Now, he knew this. He's speaking from a place of knowing. He's walking the earth saying, all this has been handed over to me. You got to know your territory. This is mine. There's some other apostles. Come on. There's some other people who teach, but I know the territory that's been given to me. So he says, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son. He's admitting, I know more. I'm on another level. He says, you don't know me, and you don't know my Father. He says, and anyone to whom, he says, and no one knows the Father, the Son, except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son. And anyone to whom the Son determines to reveal him. So he's saying, the only way y'all gonna know this is if I tell y'all. He said, I have a level of revelation. I'm functioning from a dimension that y'all are not functioning from. And the only way you get to that dimension is for me to tell you. If I don't tell you, I'm gatekeeping. I'm gatekeeping. If I don't tell you, you don't know. This is how he deal with us as children. He sends you up into corporate world, and he gives you things that they can only get from you. Is that not what he did with Joseph? Is that not what he did with Daniel? Say, go get a man that can interpret this, because we can't hear. He got promoted because he can hear. Can I prophesy that? Your next promotion is coming because you hear better than the boss. Your next promotion is coming because the company needs you, because they can't see in that realm. And you're giving them things to take their business to the next level. So now they're looking like, what we going to do without Kena? Come on. They looking like, what we going to do without Sierra? What we going to do without Dre? What in the world we going to do without? We can't let them go. So what we got to do, we got to find a position. We got to create one. We got to create a position because God is with them. I'm just telling you. Yeah. I hope you listening. Verse 28. He says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened. He said, and I will give you rest. Now, the rest that he's trying to give you, like we talked about, the realms of dimension, the dimensions of redemption. Okay? The rest he is trying to give you can be found in Genesis chapter 2, in which he said that he rested on the seventh day. So from all his work, so when he rested on the seventh day, everything that he wanted to do for you in your life was accomplished. So now he's telling you, the scriptures say we have to labor now to enter into his rest. So you have to personally labor to enter into the destiny that he gave you. Your consecration is for rest. We're doing too much stuff. We're not resting. We're not finding out what he said to do, why he created us, when should we do it, where should we do it, how should we do it. So he says, if you come to me, all who are weary and burdened, because you are. Why? Because you don't know. And at this point in time, salvation wasn't even available. Verse 29, he says, take my yoke upon you and what? Learn from me. Here we go. And learn from me. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Connect yourself with me. To yoke is to connect for the purpose of one becoming. So to yoke yourself with Christ is like to handcuff yourself to him. Wherever he go, whatever he do, that's what you do. You don't go nowhere he wouldn't go. So to yoke yourself to Christ is to connect yourself for the purpose of becoming, the purpose of working with him, and the purpose of being strengthened. So he says, take my yoke upon you, and he says, learn from me. Learn from me. Now, to learn is to be explained, to describe, or to be imparted. Learn means to increase in knowledge or to be informed. It is to learn by practice and use. So I'm not going to give you information that you don't have to practice. We're not after information. The stuff he's telling me, I have to follow through with it. I got something for you. Don't worry about it. He said to be in habit and accustomed to. So after you have heard the information, it's been explained, it has been imparted, you have increased in the knowledge, you have informed, you have used it, and you have practiced it, he said this should be your customary. The Bible says John and Peter was on their way to pray as they always were. 3 o'clock, like clockwork. The Bible said Jesus went to his prayer place that he was accustomed to going. That was his spot. So he said, learn of me, he said, because I'm gentle and I'm humble of heart. So this is the first level. He said, when you come learn from me, the first thing going to happen is you're going to learn humility. You're going to learn humility. What is humility by definition? Okay, that was scattered, but I'm going to say it again for everybody that didn't hear that. To humble yourself is to, hear me, is to empty yourself out so that he could be everything in you. To the degree that he can't work in you, that is pride. So how do you know what to empty yourself of? By analyzing yourself and seeing what you're full of. Okay. You got to find out what you're full of. And you have to bring it to him. You have to humble yourself. Father, I want you to work in me your will and to do your good pleasure. I want you to work in me your word to the place where I'm not just a hearer, but I'm a doer. He said the work that he started, he going to finish it. But he will never take your will and do it. You got to give him your will. Verse 30, he says, for my yoke is comfortable and my burden is light, which means it's easier on this side. But first you got to connect yourself to him, and then you have to learn. You have to learn. Jesus at 12 years old, was it 13? Which one? When he was in the temple. Y'all help me. 12. He's 12 years old, sitting. This is how learning look. Listening. Yeah. And asking questions. 13. Now, 12. Okay. Thank you. He's 12 years old. And he's already invested in his learning. To the place where he abandoned his parents, his natural parents. When they came and found him, he said, you ain't no have to be about my father's business. So his father's business was learning. I'm going to say it again for the people in the cheap seats. His father's business was, I need everybody. Learning. It was learning. Come on, it wasn't gifting. He hadn't cast out nothing. He ain't turned no water to wine. He hadn't prayed. He hadn't prophesied. He ain't speak to no trees. He hadn't taught a lesson. Nothing. He said, my father's business is learning. And after he did that, the Bible said he grew in wisdom and stature with God and with man. Then he waited 18 years for an assignment. So this is what learning looks like. Now, I have to say something. I want to interrupt this to say this. The spirit of religion is what most Christians hear by. Okay. The spirit of religion is what most Christians hear by. Now, give you a definition. Spirit of religion is when we use scriptures but remove the voice of the Father. We use scripture, but we remove the voice of the Father from the Spirit, and we try to make it independent from the Father and the Son. Jesus didn't say the Holy Spirit told him nothing. Say something back. Thank you. Jesus didn't say Holy Spirit told me nothing. He said, my Father told me. We say the Holy Spirit. We say the Spirit said. We say God said. What God? What Spirit? Come on. We say the Lord said. The Lord is not a relationship. The Lord tells you the measuring stick. He tells you who's in charge. He tell you what you're growing into. Jesus is our Lord because we are obligated to do what he said, and we are obligated to do what he did. He's the example of what a son of God looks like. So we're growing into him. That's why he's our Lord. But when he spoke, he said, the Father said this. Why did he say that? Because he kept it covenant. Because some of the stuff we say, the Spirit told us a father would never say do. Come on. Some of the stuff we say, the Spirit said, God said, the Lord, the Father would never say, tell you do that. We abandon posts in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Spirit said this. No, the Father would never tell you to do that with your mind, with your heart, with your soul, or with your body. So when you speak, you have to say, the Father told me to do this, and this puts me in covenant. And as a son, it don't make sense that he said, as a daughter, it don't make sense that he said to do this. As a family, come on, it don't make sense that he said do this. We abandoned, come on, in the name of the Father. In the name of Jesus, we abandoned. We got hurt, we abandoned. He said do this. No. Jesus didn't talk like that. He said, the Father said to do this thing. So this is what the spirit of religion does. It makes an independent voice, and it removes the Father, it removes the Son, and it also is absent of covenant and relationship, which now it brings me into the spirit of bondage instead of the spirit of adoption. So we have to understand as the church that there's one voice. There's one voice. There's not three voices. The Son only said what the Father said. The Spirit only revealed the Word. The Word is always going to be the voice of the Father. It's what he said. So even when the Word became flesh, it was the Father's plan that became flesh. It was what he wanted to ultimately say to us that became flesh. So when we remove his voice, what happens is we remove the covenant conversation. This is why I was talking. I don't know who I was talking to. I think I was talking to you. And I was telling her the Holy Spirit would never teach you about demons before he teach you about sonship. Okay? The Holy Spirit would never, I don't care how big the church is. I don't care how small it is. The Holy Spirit would never teach you about demons before he teach you about the fatherhood of God. No father would teach you about the cruelties of life before they show you who you are. You think he spent time telling Jesus who devil was? Well, this is who Satan is. Only thing Jesus had to say about Satan, I saw him fall. Everything else, he said, I do what my father tell me. So the father would never speak about demons before deliverance. No. You know what deliverance is? The mind of Christ. You know what deliverance is? I pulled you out the domain of darkness and brought you into the kingdom of my son. He would never speak about demons and need you to learn demonology. You don't know Christology. You don't know doxology. So what happens is, if I teach you about demons before I teach you about sonship, every mistake you make, you think it's a spirit. You think it's a demon. You need deliverance for everything that's wrong with you. And the truth is, you're immature. That's it. The truth is, you carnal. When Paul came to the church, he said, I wanted to bring you meat. He said, but I couldn't. He said, because y'all got demons in you. He didn't say that. He said, I wanted to bring you meat, but instead I had to bring you milk because you're still a babe in Christ. You in a family. The issue is not demons. The purpose of the church is not demons out. It's Christ in. Y'all want some proof? Okay. He said Christ in you is the hope of glory. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Conform to the image of my son, Christ. So even if we remove the demon, you still need conformity. You still need the mind of Christ. So the deliverance isn't complete until you get the mind of Christ. Because if I remove a demon, if I remove a spirit, how did it get there? By the way you think. Because you don't know your identity, it keeps coming back. And what Satan doesn't want you to know is your identity. That's the spiritual warfare, is you knowing who you are. To the degree that you know who you are, he's scared of you. He's scared of you. The Bible says when he sees fear is not there, he gets scared. He has a roaring lion. He ain't got no teeth or a mane. Now, a mane is to protect your neck. His neck ain't protected. At best, he a lioness. So the war is for identity, which brings me to the second part. That when you remove the voice of the Father, you remove childlike hearing, which prevents humility. He said, who's the greatest in the kingdom? He said, a child. He didn't say a pastor, a prophet, evangelist, a teacher. He didn't say a battle axe. He didn't say a demon slayer. He didn't say a deliverance minister. He didn't say a bishop. He said a child, and it's the Greek word paideon, which means that you are at the level where you just know your father. You ain't at a learned level. So that means you dominate the kingdom of darkness just by knowing your father. He told the disciples, he says, you're clean because of what I spoke, not because what I cast out. And surely Peter needed. Surely Peter needed something removed. Judas is with him. He said, you're clean because the words I spoke. What I spoke to you cleansed you. When I told you who you are, it cleansed you. When I told you who you are, you instantly understood who you are not. When I told you I was for you, it killed every conversation that I was against you. I need to go. It amplifies the orphic spirit, which means every time you make a mistake, you start to look at what you did wrong. You don't feel loved. You feel like he's going to take your blessings away because you ain't got it all together. In which he gave the sacrifice so that he wouldn't do that. And lastly, it detunes your ears from the spirit realm. It removes your ears from his household. You no longer hear him speaking to you as a father. Now he is authoritative. Now he's a tormentor. Now the earth gonna swallow you up. You find every scripture of the Old Testament. I'm gonna get leprosy. You find every scripture in the Old Testament, okay, to say how he gonna crucify me. When he chose Paul at the, he chose two of the most powerful men in the Bible, Moses and Paul, both killed somebody, and neither one of them could speak well. So what this mean is, he not interested in you if you can speak well and you ain't killed nobody. That's the criteria. Come on. You don't know him. You think you know him. No. So, to hear is the main goal of learning. Hearing is my seat in the classroom of the Spirit. Hearing is my seat in the classroom of the Spirit. If you... Matthew 11 and 15, it ain't up there. Y'all can write it down. If you want to bring it, he can. Matthew 11 and 15, Mark 4 and 23, Revelations 2 and 7. Gosh, that time is going fast. Slow down. I wonder if I could do that. Come on. Joshua made the sun stop. You think I can make time stop? Abba. Revelations 2 and 7. All of them pretty much say, he who has an ear, let it hear what the Spirit is saying. So because you have ears don't mean you can hear the Spirit. Okay, he said, he who has an ear, he's talking about your soul. He's talking about your spirit man. He says, he who has an ear, let them hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. He didn't say spirits. So learning... The main goal of learning is to hear. It's to ultimately get you to the place where you hear him for yourself. Because when I get done teaching and preaching, I'm going home to my lovely wife and my family. And I don't want you calling me, asking me nothing, because I'm introducing you to the spirit realm. Okay? You call me, I'm going to say, have you prayed? Jesus talking to the Pharisees, he said, have you not read? Come on. It's something you ain't did. You got the same access I have. You don't have the access for the office, but you got the same access. He's your father. The highest level in the spirit is a son of God. When I say son, that includes daughters. That's the highest level in the spirit. It's not an apostle. We're the highest level in the government, in the educational institution to get you to the place where you hear. But the highest level in the spirit is a son of God. It's a daughter of God. Mature. Romans 10:13. Here you go, Kena. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Not is. Sorry. Okay, verse 14. Keep going. Sometimes one word will get you. He says, how then are they to call on him whom they have not believed? How are they to believe in him whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without a preacher? He said, you can't hear without a preacher. Okay, you can't hear without a preacher. You need a preacher to hear. The assignment is for you to hear from the fivefold, to go out and do his will so we can take it. The goal is not from you to hear directly from God, exclude yourself from the family, and then go take over the planet. God talked to me too. At what level? Now, there's two words dealing with here. The first word is akouo, Greek word akouo, for hearing. Now, this is the word in which he says, how are they to believe in him who they have not heard, and how are they to hear? So to hear is to endow or to have the faculty of hearing. It is to activate your ear to hear. is you didn't have the information, now we introduce you to it. It's to get, it's to have the faculty of hearing to hear something, to understand or perceive the sense of what is being said. It is to perceive by ear what is announced in one's presence. So there's an ear to hear in the natural, and there's an ear to hear in the spirit. He needs you to detune yourself from the natural in order to hear in the spirit. So that when you hear people in the natural, you understand what they really said in the spirit. It is to get hearing by learning. He said, how can they hear? How can they get hearing without learning? You can only get hearing by learning. You can only hear by learning. It is to give ear to teaching and preaching. Now, Romans 10, 17 says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ, the Logos. That's another conversation. It don't come by reading the Bible. Faith don't come by reading the Bible. It don't come by reading the Bible. It comes by hearing the word of Christ. The word of Christ is Logos. It's not Rhema. So faith does not come by hearing Rhema. Faith comes by hearing Logos. The difference being, scripture is everything in the Bible. The Rhema word is all word that was spoken in time and space. And the Logos word is the word that was spoken before the foundation of the world. You need to hear what was spoken before the foundation of the world, not just what was written in earth. Because the stuff that was written in earth has to be interpreted through figurative language, through parables, through proverbs. It has to be broken down, because we're not only dealing with realms and dimensions, we're also dealing with ages and dispensations. So when we're dealing with ages, we're dealing with periods of time in which certain things took place, Old Testament. But then in the Old Testament, there's dispensations, which means it's the government and how he governed the people. It's the economy in which he used at that time. So from Adam to Moses, there was no law. From Moses to Jesus, there was law. So from Adam to Moses, there was a dispensation where there was no law. They didn't know what to do, right or wrong. They could not be dealt with in a way where they did something wrong. So when he judged them because it was wicked, period. It wasn't a thing that they did wrong. It was just that they were wicked. Everybody was wicked. But when it got to Moses, to Jesus, it was now under the Mosaic law. The Mosaic law represents the dispensation that he dealt with them. So Paul says we are no longer under that dispensation. Why? Because the age changed. And with the age change, the dispensation changed. So now we are in the New Testament. We are God's children. So he deals with us by grace because we're now growing up. He's raising us. You got me? He's raising us. It's not legalistic. It's not you did that wrong, I got to deal with you. It's now that it's my job to mentor you, to teach you, to explain to you, to love my word in you. Because the end game is dominion, and I don't need you trying to dominate scared of me. You can't dominate under the law. Because every time you do something, you're looking for him to judge you. So we have to make sure that even when you read scripture, you're reading the book of Psalms, but you still got to bring it to the age and the dispensation. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Nope. He's my father. Jehovah Jireh is a dimension that the people tapped into God. And so they said, Jehovah Jireh is my supplier. He's not Jehovah Jireh to us. Why Jesus didn't teach that? Why Paul didn't say Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Rapha? Because those were not ordinances that came from heaven to earth. Those were dimensions that they tapped into, and that's how they learned him. When we came to him, he says he's Father. Father covers all of that. Father covers it all. So he says faith comes from hearing, not have heard. So you hearing speaks to your senses of hearing has been activated in the spirit realm. It is the thing heard, instructions, namely oral. It is you hearing the preaching of the gospel, and the preaching of the gospel is not Jesus died on the cross. That's not the gospel. The good news is not he died on the cross. The good news is not a man got beat. It's not the good news is not a man got crucified. It's the fact that because of his crucifixion, everything you got the kingdom, you got an inheritance, you got his glory, you got wisdom, knowledge. The angels are encamped around him. That's the good news. You get to come back in the household. This is the good news. The good news is the benefit of what we get because of the death. It's not that he died. So it's an incomplete conversation to just tell a person that you just need to obey God or you're going to go to hell. There's so much left. There's so much more. So faith comes by hearing, not have heard. You come to Pastor Kirby. Pastor Kirby gives you a 5-step business plan on how to handle your money. You heard him, but that ain't how you hear. Every time you get money, you don't hear that. Come on. We're trying to take care of our body. We write down 6 steps on how to be healthy. And somehow it eludes us when we pass our favorite restaurant. We heard, but we don't hear. We heard, but we don't hear. Okay? Having heard a thing is different from hearing a thing. We're trying to get you to the place that this is how you hear according to your father's voice. When you have raised a child and they mature and they get out the house, they hear from the household. No matter where they are, they hear from their household. This is what my father taught me. ain't that what Jesus did? I only do what I hear my father say. He heard a lot of other people. He heard his brother say, how you gonna be famous if you don't get out there? He said, you can do what you wanna do. He said, you can do what you wanna do. I can't do that. He heard them say they gonna kill him. I give my life, you can't take it. He heard people, but he had a will. And his will was given to the Father. Let me go. So, in order to walk this walk and do it successfully, I'm going to give you 4 steps, and I'm out your way. Gosh. The first step is you need to learn how to hear. Okay? The first is hearing. The second is obeying. The third one is studying. And the fourth one is listening. So you need to first learn how to hear. After you have heard, you need to obey. Okay? The Bible says that if you are willing and obedient, the Bible says he learned obedience. The Bible says obey and submit to those that are teaching you. Why? Because we're trying to work on your soul so we can prosper your soul so you can hear. And not just say, y'all know what I can't stand when somebody up here teaching. What can I can't stand somebody standing when they're up here teaching. Apostle said, that get on my nerves so bad. That get on my nerves so bad. Up here teaching. And, well, like Apostle said, I was in the spirit. The word said that. I taught you so we can all say what the Father said. I didn't teach you so you can say, well, this is what Apostle said. I'm not your God. I'm teaching you so you can say what the Father said. So after you have obeyed, then the next thing you have to do is study. Now, Timothy, 2 Timothy 2 and 15 says, study to show yourself approved. Okay? Study to show yourself approved. So you're not approved by my study habits. You're not approved by what I know. He says, study to show yourself approved because you live in the realm of the spirit, but there's dimensions. And you have to study to prove that you're worthy of every dimension. Psalms 119 and 45 says, it says, I will walk freely in an open place because what? I study your precepts. I don't read them. Now, to study is to be diligent with the information. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. The Bible says that without faith, it's impossible to please him. He said, but when you come to him, you must have been what? Diligent. I got it. Psalms 119 and 155 says, salvation is far from the wicked. Why? Because they don't study. He said, salvation is far because you don't study. Part of the wickedness is because you don't know what's righteous. So the next one is listening. It's going to make sense in a second. Luke 8 and 18. It says, so take care how you listen. I ain't making this stuff up. Could you turn these monitors down just a little bit? He says, so take care how you listen. Did you hear what I said? He didn't say take care that you listen. How you listen. Which means when you're sitting in front of teachers, you got to stop sizing people up. You got to learn. How you listen is important. He says, so take care how you listen. For whoever has, to him more will be given. And whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, will be taken away. Jesus said that. So, now, the purpose of this is because we have to hear, and the Father wants to speak to us. But after he has spoken to us and we hear him, the next thing we have to do is obey. And the reason why we have to obey is because his conversation is so deep that it's impossible to explain everything to you at one time. So we hear the word, and now the only thing we're supposed to do is obey. Because he's our Father. And the depth of his conversation, he can never release it at one moment to you. So, for instance, forgiveness. If he comes to you and tell you, forgive, what are you to do? Forgive. Just obey. Because at that moment, it's impossible for him to explain everything that needs to be told about forgiveness. One, the Bible lets us know, he says that you have to forgive 7 times 70 in a day. He just said forgive. He didn't release all of that information. So what happens is when I hear him, I obey him. Now, the next step is I take the word he gave me and I study. This is proof that I trust him. I don't question him. I take the word that he gave me and I study because there's more information in why he said to do that. And he's going to tell me to forgive, but he might not tell me 7 times 70 in a day. The scripture said, Jesus said that the Son of Man can forgive sins. Do you know you can forgive sins? He didn't say the Son of God. Forgive, because when you forgive as a child of God, as a son of God, he says you break bondages on people. He's not going to tell you all that in one conversation. He says if we confess our sins, that he will forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Now, he said forgive, but in that conversation, he wants to cleanse you. He wants to cleanse you. In that conversation, he might not tell you that if you don't forgive them, I can't forgive you. My spirit realm is set up like that. So he simply said forgive. All you have to do is obey it. In between obedience, study it. There's a story in the scripture, Matthew 18, 32 through 35, in which a man owed his master. He asked him for forgiveness. He said, forgive me of my debt. The master said, watch this. The master said, what the master was about to do was, he was not only about to put him in jail, but he was about to take his wife and his kids and everything he owned. He begged for forgiveness. He gave him mercy. The man left and went and found somebody that owed him. Snatched him up by his collar. Where my money? Then had him sent to jail. It says when his master found that out, the scripture says that he threw him in jail and allowed him to be tormented or tortured. Then Jesus turns around and says, so would be everyone who does not forgive his brother. He said, forgive. He don't have time to explain everything to you that comes behind you not forgiving. He's trying to keep you in the realm of the spirit in forgiving, and he don't have time to take you down the lines of the dimensions of unforgiveness on how it's making you sick. Come on. On because he said to do it and you won't forgive, you're attracting demonic attention. Most pain in our bodies is from unforgiveness. So you hear him, then you obey. In between obedience, you study the word, study what he told you. He said, submit to leaders. He said, watch this, submit to one another. Come on. He said, submit to the authorities. He don't talk about Donald Trump. He said, submit and pray. He said, submit to parents. Now, let me help you, because my women, I love y'all, but when you say submit, I know y'all, look, I gotta do this. Because what you have to understand that anytime the father tells, see, and this ain't gonna be in the conversation, he gonna say submit. He gonna say submit, but he's not gonna explain everything to you. He would never tell you to submit in a place where the person has already submitted to you. Y'all with me? He told you to submit to him because he first submitted to you. He created you in his image after his likeness. He crowned you with glory and honor. Come on. We can keep going on and on. He made you his righteousness. He sent the sacrifice. So when he asks you to submit to him, it's because he first submitted to you. When he asks you as a wife to submit to your husband, because your husband is already submitted to you. That's why your last name changed. Come on. You got all his belongings, his bank account. Come on. His body. No Allardyce, ain't nothing. Come on, you better ask some of these single women. He already submitted. He submitted to you already. When he tell you to submit in ministry, we already started, we didn't did everything. We took our money, we studied, we set it up for you already. All you got to do is show up. We submitted already. So anytime he tell you to submit, it's because the thing that he's telling you to submit to has already submitted to him. But he's just going to say submit. And to submit means to give my will. And so you may hear him say submit, but you don't study it. You heard him say submit. All he needs you to do is obey. As children, your parents already submitted. Come on. You got a place to live. You got food. You got clothes. We picking you up from stuff, taking you here. We already submitted. So when he says obey, he's telling you to obey to somebody who is already submitted. So you hear, but then you just obey. And in between obedience, study. Study to show yourself approved to make sure that you're doing it right. Because if he has said this, he's telling you this so you won't resist order. Not to put you under somebody's thumb. Am I helping? Submit is not a bad word. Submit is a word that proves that you are empowered and you're loved, and he's making sure that you are secured. So now, why is he telling us this? Because the Bible says submit to God and resist the devil. So as long as you don't submit, you can't resist. But he's not going to go through all of this. He's not going to teach you all of that. So he simply just says the word. You obey it. This is learning. This is how you learn the dimensions. You hear the word, you obey the word. In the meantime, you study the word. And the more you hear his voice and understand, now you can listen. Because you can't listen until you can first hear. Because the art of listening is recognizing whose voice I'm hearing. So he says, submit unto God. Now, let me say this. Anytime the Father says submit, he never tells you to submit to a man or a person. Y'all with me? He never says submit to a man. He never says submit to a person. Y'all with me? He only says submit to his word. You're not submitting. She's not submitting to me. She's submitting to her father's word. So to not submit is not to come against me. It's to come against your father's word. To not submit is not to, you're not coming against leadership, you're coming against him. But you're not going to get all of that unless you study. That's why I say you need a preacher. And the reason why you need a preacher is because of some of the places that you're called to be and the things that you are called to do, you don't have time to study at this level. You don't have time to study at this level. Some of the places he's calling you in offices, in the seven mountains, you don't have time to study like me. That's all I do. That's all I do is study the word. Because it's a call. Everybody can't stay at home and study the word all day. We got businesses to run. Say that. Okay? We got stuff to do. We got mountains to rule. Amen? So you can't sit at home and just study the word all day. So he gives you preachers and teachers after his own heart to get you there quicker. But the purpose of this position is to get you to a place where you hear his voice. He wants to bless you. So he might tell you, I'm going to bless you. But what's coming with that? What do you want? You want the kingdom? Well, blessed are those who are poor in spirit. You want the earth? Influence? Well, be meek. He said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. Blessed are, we said, I'm blessed. How you get that? How did you get blessed? He said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. He said, blessed are you when you are persecuted for my name's sake. So how did the blessing come? There's certain protocols. The Beatitudes are the protocols of a son. He's teaching you as a son of God. These are the protocols to be blessed. David was a king. He said, blessed is the man, watch this, that walketh not in the counsel of ungodly. Come on. Stand in the way of the sinner. sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law, and he meditates. I just told you how to be blessed as a king. The blessings don't come because I ask them. But he's telling you he wants to bless you. You heard that. But what I didn't do is obey the protocol. I didn't go study and find out how not only do I be blessed, but do I keep the blessing. Now, the thing about this is this. Every word that he gives you, when he tell you to give, he going to say give. He's not going to say if you sow bountifully, you're going to reap bountifully. He's just going to say give. He's not going to say give and it shall be given unto. Good measure, pressed down, shaken. He's not going to reiterate and bring every scripture to your attention at one time because he needs you to obey. And as you are obeying, you study. You find out, why did he tell me to do this? And how, watch this, can I be more efficient? So first we hear. That's what the purpose of learning is for, is so I can hear him. Most people won't even know about sonship had they not heard. You don't get this everywhere. Say it louder. You get Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. So stop sinning or you're going to go to hell. Every Sunday you're getting saved. Faith comes by hearing. I mean, I gotta keep giving attention. I can't take time off from work, not the word. Take time off from anything else but the word. In that word is embedded your Father's voice, and you gotta make sure you hear it. Because he wants you to hear, and there's levels to that. Paul heard from the third heaven. Where you hearing from? John heard so well that he already wrote the end. Come on. There's levels to hearing. Moses heard so well that he wrote Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob's story. He wrote Joseph's story. He's telling you the intricate parts. How you know what happened in the palace? How you know what happened in the prison? Joseph didn't write that. There's a level you can hear on. What level are you hearing on? You have to learn dimensions. You mean to tell me there's a level in which he can use you to write and it become the Bible? It become the word that everybody has to obey. Is not Paul the one that was killing Christians? Absolutely. But by redemption and him submitting, he said, it pleased God to call me from my mother's womb. Well, what were you doing all this time? There's levels of hearing. Peter heard, who do men say I am? I'm closing. Y'all got y'all quota for the day. Who do men say I am? Some say you are Elijah, John the Baptist, which means they equated him with men in the flesh. He said, who do you say I am? He said, you are Christ, the Son of the living God. He seen who he was without his body. John, Jesus said, flesh and blood didn't tell you this. He said, you heard from another dimension. My Father told you that. My Father is not in earth. Where do we hear from? Then he turned around and he said, watch out. He said, the Pharisees, they're going to come get me and they're going to put me in jail and they're going to kill me. He said, Lord, it would not be so. Same Peter that just heard from the Father from eternity is now trying to stop Jesus from his mission. And he said, get behind me, Satan. So he heard from the highest dimension, which he heard from the Father, and then the next minute he's speaking from hell. We don't know what we think we know. We are learning dimensions. We are learning dimensions. We got to go from born again, here we go, to fully mature. Every level is a different dimension. Every level is a different dimension. He said when they got to the Nanisco's level, he said you have overcome the word. And he said you have overcome the devil and you are strong in the word. When it came to the Padion level, he says you know your father. When it came to the infant level, he says you still need milk. So that means milk and meat are different dimensions. In the dimension of meat, he told what he said to Paul. Paul said, I take pleasure in my weaknesses. You can hear the Father so much that you start to take pleasure in your weaknesses. He says, I boast about insults. The more people talk about me, I know he with me. You got to hear on a whole nother level. You got to hear on a whole nother level. So we are learning dimensions. We understand he redeemed us. He brought us back into his household. We understand that we have been born again. We are now part of his family. But now it's time to learn. Amen. All right, let's go.